Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahana Vyankaravavahai Tejasvinavaditamastama Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, so Shuddha Dvaita of Sri Vallabhacharya. Okay, bottom of page 36. 36. Bottom.
56.
Guess it's better to look at it with your glasses on. Hi, where is it? Somehow or another, what do you call it? The Gona Rasa fear suddenly. What? We have to do these 20 pages again? Oh.
I was thinking, boy, I didn't miss much while I was away.
In fact, I was ahead for yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, okay. Oh, so then yours was astonishment. Yeah. Everyone else was fear. or what was the other one? What was that last one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Gasliness.
Yeah, gasliness.
Oh, no!
Oh, I can try it tomorrow. So I'm 76. Okay. There are three categories of jivas. Okay, again, categorization. Right? Because everybody categorizes the jivas, just like we categorize it to Nitya Bhata and Nitya Mukta. Mm. Right? And then there's also a subcategory within Nitya Bhata, those who are called Bhagya Jeev, or fortunate. So those who have actually taken up the process. Like that, but they're just a category of Bhadaji. So here he gives Shuddha, pure, those which its divine qualities such as Aishwarya are not obscured by avidya. Samsarin, those who its divine qualities obscured by the will of the Lord and come in contact with avidya, identifying themselves with the gross and subtle bodies. And Mukta, those who by the will of the Lord are free from bondage by vidya and bhakti. Right. So in other words, they're making those who are not means they're pure, but then the mukta means those who have become pure, as opposed to those who are already pure. You know, just like we'll make a subdivision. We won't make this a major division. We'll make it a subdivision of those who are the nitya siddhas, then those who were always nitya, and those who through sadhana became nitya. Right, so it's just for discussion's sake. But the main thing is that here you have your pure and your samsara, right? So, but by showing mukta, that shows that samsara can become mukta, can come to that pure platform. The samsara.
It's not kanishta,
that's maybe a different way. It's just like when we do dasamul, we give the nature of jiva, right? Just what's the tatasta. Then we'll talk about the Bhadha Jeev and then the Mukta Jeev. So basically they're just saying, because we'll just say that there's bound and there's liberated. Right? Within liberated, there's those who's always been a liberated. Means in other words the Nitya Muktas and then the Sadhana Muktas. Right? And within the Bhadha Jeevs, we'll take with those who are, you know, Bhagya and then those who are really not Bhagya. You know. Does that make sense? The samsaran souls can be grouped into three classes. Pravaha, those that are busy with worldly matters. Maryada, those that follow the Vedic path according to the letter of the Vedas. And Pushti, those that worship the Lord out of pure love and engendered only through divine grace. Right. So then you have those who are just materially absorbed, those who are following the Vedic path, you know, for elevation, and those who are basically practicing devotion. Right? Because for them, devotion means pushti. Right? Pushti means nourishing. So it means they're nourishing that relationship with the Lord. Does that make sense?
And
so
Maryada wouldn't be, they also worship?
Follow the Vedic path according to the letter of the Vedas. You could, but so then you, yeah, you would generally take that as smartest and probably those who are busy with worldly matters. Or you could take it, if you're looking at it from the devotional, how we would split it here, you would take it that you'd pravaha, those who are busy in worldly matters. Then those who are following the Vedas according to the letter, that would be your vaidhi, and then your pushti would be your rab. You could also divide it like that. Because the point is, since everything fits into this, then you can get all these different things. So it's not that one contradicts the other. They're just different ways of approaching it. Right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Does that work, or cogs are still turning?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just saying.
Why would he classify them, group them like that?
Oh, I mean, we will say is you have your materialists and then of your devotees, there's, it means there's Vaidhi sadhana and Raganuga sadhana. You know?
They don't use those terms?
Not necessarily. Okay. Like that. It means the terms we use are specifically what Lord Chaitanya has given. So that means all these different terms that are used are all bona fide. But then the terms that Lord Chaitanya gives, those are the ones that Krishna prefers. Right, you know, it's like in the Gita, he says, some say this, some say that, but in my opinion, that means, of that means, so those are all correct, but in my opinion is that. So therefore, it's just like dividing the elements. Like Brahma Samhita divides it as nine, right? So it's correct. But some also divide them as I think it's 33 or something, because they take the illusion, you know, Kam, Krodh, Lobh, you know how you say it? Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Matsarya. Means lust, anger, greed. No, the lust,
krodh,
anger, greed, madness, illusion. Makes that, and they take those and add those, because when Brahma creates, before he can actually put people into the bodies, he has to make those six. When those six enemies are there, then people will agree to go into the bodies. Because otherwise, why would you go into one of these bodies if you're not crazy? You know, like that. So craziness with lust and greed, you know, hey, you know, it's a shoo-in, right? You know, like that. You know, so that's the whole idea. So it's there in the creation, between the primary creation and the actual manifestation of the secondary, that those had to be created. So the primary, you had all the original elements, but then those ones there. So some will categorize it that those 24 plus those 6, you know, so then they get 30, right? But Lord Chaitanya is given, no, these 24, because those are just the enemies. It's just those are mentalities. So they're not exactly what we'd say elements. But you could take it that they're elements of material creation. Does that make sense? And that way you could get so many. So it's just a matter of what you take. So the 9 is too simple, the 30 is too big. Right, so 24 is perfect. It gets everything very nicely. Right, you can distinguish between the different kinds of senses, the sense objects, all those things. Because otherwise, when you deal with the 9, you everything just folds up into the mind. Right, does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, so here he's just taking those who are busy with worldly matters. So they're not saying whether they're pious or impious. Just they're absorbed in material life. So that's one way of doing it. Because we can also say there's the impious, the pious, and then the devotional.
Mm.
Right? It means you have akarma, you know, karma. I mean, it means karma, vikarma, karma, and akarma. Right? That's another way of doing it. So basically, they're just taking the pravaha is, that's just, they're just absorbed in the material world, whether it's vikarma or karma. And then Maryada would be those who are following the Vedic path to the letter of the Vedas. So that means they're perfectly following, so we could take them as sadhakas who are following, or we could take them as smartas who are following, like that. But because their emphasis is why I'm going this way, is because Pushti is their path. They're known as Pushti Margis. Right? So they'll say, we're on this path. So then others who are following the Vedas nicely, that's nice, but then we're following the Pushti. This is what's the actual.
So there is Raga?
Not exactly. I'm saying by our definition, we might use it like that. Because we will classify ourselves. We don't say we're Pushti Margis, but we are Pushti Margis. Right? Does that make sense? Because Pushti Marg isn't the main element of the thing. We focus more on pure unalloyed devotion, right? But they're saying here, out of pure love engendered only through divine grace, right?
So different than divine
it's
grace.
Not really different. It's not means being here is pure love engendered only through divine grace. So that means your pure love that's nourished through divine grace. That means that if your devotion will be nourished through divine grace, means you have to be getting the grace of the Lord. That means you're pleasing the Lord. So your expression of pure love is pleasing the Lord, therefore your love for Him is nourished. So it means it would have to be favorable devotional service. So Rupa Goswami's this definition of pure devotional service is a bit more exact. Like that, because that's why, because this does for pure. Right? But because we're dealing with pure unalloyed, it has to have a finer definition. Otherwise, how do you tell what's alloyed? Right? So that's the thing, is that Rupa Goswami's definition is a bit finer. But it's not that this is wrong, because this is working above Vaikuntha, but below Vraja.
So they can get to Dwarka?
Dwarka, they can get to a lower Vrindavan, like that. Or even within Vrindavan, it may be that there's something of that, but their aim is parental rasa.
Oh, they worship Gopal?
They worship Gopal. Now the question's been answered. These guys, well, they worship Gopal. Yeah. Like that. Because the others, they just worship Radha Krishna. It means the Nimbarkas, they worship Radha Krishna. But you don't see them very often. I've heard of it. I heard of one devotee bumped into a temple. Like that. No. Then they have so many. But the Nimbarka, you generally never heard of. He walked in, and there's these Radha Krishna deities, and they're doing worship of Radha Krishna. And then it was Artik time, and then this, you know, have you ever seen these North Indian sadhus, you know, the big guys with the big jata, you know, the big locks and just wearing kopans?
Yeah.
You know, they're kind of little stocky and tough looking, because they're kind of, it's renunciation and yoga and all that kind of mixed. One of those guys walks in, and like that in his kopans offers the Artik. It's that you never hear of them, but they have temples, but you hardly ever hear them. They're very, very, seem to be very out of the way. So it is Radha Krishna and spontaneous love. So therefore, spontaneous, you know, what is it? The Dodi. You know, they're renunciates. So, you know, maybe Grihastha Nimbarkas would are a Dodi, but the sadhus, they don't. You know, so it's just you know. Just imagine, curtains open, there's this big fat guy. You like that, ladies. Yeah. I get a lot of pictures. Yeah. Yeah, before the Mangal Arti is even over, the GBC would already be flying in. All of them. All of them.
New combo on the destruction.
Okay, so we'll move on. The material nature. Okay, so that's the souls. Concept of soul and material nature. So here you see he's not getting into the thing of goodness, passion, ignorance. It's just taken, those are coverings. In other words, for the samsaran, right, that those are the coverings. So it's not a matter, because the three modes are working together, so one of them's prominent at any one time. It's samsara, just means it's going around. And then pravaha, those busy with worldly matters, it's also, it doesn't matter if they're, you know, this or that, or within varnashram or not. That's their focus. It's just, in other words, they're basically grihamedis. While this maryada would be a grihastha. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, whether they are a devotional grihastha or not, that's not really brought out here. But the point is they're not actually nicely situated in bhakti, because it's just they're following the Vedic rule. Otherwise, I'm sure he would mention that. So this most likely Maryada would be the Brahmins, the smartest. So therefore, those on Maryada would be respected. Right? But not as much as the Pushti, the devotees. Right?
Are they prominent in themselves? Or are they prominent? Rudra, something like
that? West, Gujarat. They're all basically all of us. Okay. It means yeah, because they all worship Srinathji. Srinathji is their deity. Our deity, that's their deity. But that's an ongoing thing for 500 years. Whose deity is he? Yeah, okay. I think at one time they wouldn't even let. But before they would not let any Gaudiya sannyasis come into the temple. Because they're worried that he'll try to take the deity. Okay, the material nature. The universe is the effect of Brahman and is real and non-different from him. He represents the Adibhautika, material form of Brahman. Okay, so that means a universal form.
The effect.
The effect of Brahman means, in other words, Brahman is the cause and material energy is the effect. Right? Just like, because the Mayavadis are saying that Brahman can't, to cause something, there must be a change. Because if you're going from just existing into creating, that means there's a change. So that means there's mutability. So they're saying Brahman is immutable, so Brahman can't be the cause of creation. Right? So therefore, Maya has to do it. But Maya's illusion, you know? Does that make sense? That's where we get into that flaw in circles. That therefore Maya has to be the cause, but Maya means cause material world. But where does Maya? Where's the ashraya of Maya? But that's in the jiva, right? The jiva thinks I am in Maya, so therefore there's a material world. They look at it that way. But the problem is Brahman only thinks there's a jiva when they're covered by Maya. So if the jiva is the shelter of Maya, and then but Maya is what makes him think he is the shelter of Maya, where did that originally start? So then it makes no sense. They can't actually establish it. Oh, 57. Okay. Yeah. No. Okay. All right, so therefore you say the effect of Brahman is the effect of Brahman. In other words, it's created by Brahman. But then you can't have the thing that Brahman himself is directly doing the transformation, because the point is that Brahman doesn't transform. You know what I'm saying? So, means in other words, let's say he doesn't transform, so therefore it's illusion. We'll say that's bogus. But the point is Maya is real, Brahman is real. But the point is it comes from Brahman, but Brahman doesn't transform. It's Brahman's energy transforms. Right? So Shakti Parinamabad, not Brahman Parinamabad. Because if you say Brahman is actually transforming, then you're saying that Brahman is not Brahman. It's mutable.
So for us, it's Shakti Parinamabad.
It's Shakti Parinamabad. So they would be basically, whether they get into that much detail, but basically saying, effective Brahman, non-different from him. So it is. It is because it's his energy. So him and his energy are non-different.
So would you say it's a manifestation?
Manifestation means?
Like the material energy is a manifestation of Brahman's energy?
Yes, it's a transformation of Brahman's energy.
Transformation.
It means you're taking internal parts, it transforms into external. Okay. You know, like Vishnu transforms into Shiva. Okay. But, you know, once it's transformed, it stays like that. So Vishnu into Shiva and internal into external. So the external potency and Shiva go together. Internal and Vishnu go together. So it's permanent. Like once milk turns into yogurt, you can't turn the yogurt back into milk. Right? So for us, you can say, but then one might complain, was it the jiva is transforming, but the consciousness is transformed, not the jiva is transformed. The jiva isn't conditioned, it's his consciousness is. The jiva is still pure. That's his nature. But it's consciousness, so you can take the consciousness back. So just as it transformed this way, you reverse that and then take it back the other way. Right? So it's due to ignorance we got here. So it's due to knowledge you'll turn it back the other way. Does that make sense? It's by ignoring God we got here. So it's by always being a conscious of God. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's by looking at the external that we get ourselves there. So it's by looking at the internal, the Lord, that we go back. So does that make sense? So like that, it's all we're doing is reversing. That's why creation is always given, because creation is just a detailed explanation of how we got conditioned. Right? Because it doesn't get into too much detail. It just shows how all the different kinds of life connect to it. Right? It means those who come from the womb, those who come from seed, those who come from some sweat, those who come from seed. Right? Because then you know all the categories of life. If you want to know, well, how do I connect? That's where you connect. But that's generally when the creation, philosophical, it ends at that point, just like mano. It just ends there. Right? Because then now it's a matter of going the other way. You identify with that. So identify with the mind, all this. That's how it got there. So that means, how did I identify with the all the gross and subtle elements? I mean, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. How did I identify with that? That's because of illusion, madness, envy, attachment, greed. Right? So giving those up, then that brings you to the Shuddhasattva platform. Right? But, or that Vasudevasattva. But then, how did I get to that Vasudevasattva platform? Right? That's because if I want to be the controller and enjoyer. Right? So giving that up, that actually puts me into the spiritual world. So then if I'm not the controller and enjoyer, that leaves me as nothing. Okay, now I'm truly Tathasta. I'm just, you know, what am I? Right? So, we're servant of God. Right? So that servant of God, then that element then brings it into, okay, then servant, what does that mean, servant? Okay, so there's five main kinds of servants, right? The Mukhya Rasa, there's five main Mukhya Rasas. So then, so I'm a servant, I'm in that particular Rasa, I'm in friendship Rasa. So how does that work? You have to express it. How do I express it? You have a spiritual body. It's just me and Krishna, but then how do you express? No, there's others, there's the environment, there's everything like that. But the point is there's all the other devotees also. Therefore, there's then the proper Vaishnava etiquette, you know, and proper rasa, that I know how to behave in my group and how to deal with the other groups. So now you have, you know, the full. And so what's the basis of that? What's the common element? It's that love of God. Right? So that love of God is the common element of all the devotees. Then there's a specific kind of love they have. Does that make sense? And that basically is I'm servant. Right? I'm servant of God, and the point of developing love or expressing that love, that's the point. So then that will give, and then so we all render service. So, but then we have specific kinds of service. Does that make sense? So that's just the natural. So all you've done is taken that and taken it down, and so you just reverse that and it goes back the other way. Does that make sense? So that's why whenever they start a discussion, the first thing that they always start with is creation. Right? That's always the first discussion. Because that's how we got here. Because if we're going to discuss the spiritual world, then if there's a gap between where we are in the spiritual world, how do we make the connection? So they start with the Lord and then come down to wherever it is here and then make that relevant connection to the topic. Then you start from that topic and then take it back. So that's why in Bhagavatam, you already have two or three creations being discussed. Sukadeva starts discussing, but when the topic comes up between Markandeya and Uddhava, right, no, Vidura, then again the creation is described. Because that's how they began their discussion. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, interesting that the scientists start where the Brahma Samhita stopped, or Brahmana Manusamhita. Which is the sweat, the type of origin.
Yeah, yeah. So they start from there. Because before that's too freaky for them. Yeah. So they just, you know, don't get involved in that. You know. Okay. The element Sat is manifest in it, while Chit and Ananda are latent. Right? So Sat means eternity is manifest in Brahman. Remember before is also Nimbarka was bringing this point out. Is that in the immaterial energy there's Sat only. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it's eternal. It exists. So Sat means existence. So material world exists, that's why we say it's real. Right? While the Brahma Satyam Jagat Mityam. Right? It means that the Brahman is real. It's sat, But the material world is asat, right? It's mithya, it's lie, it's untruth. But they're saying, we're saying, then here is that is truth, because it's sat. But it's only sat. It doesn't have the chit and ananda, because chit means knowledge, but it's based on ignorance. And ananda means without activity, how do you experience ananda? You have sat, you have the situation. Then through the activity, then rasa is tasted. All right? So if there's no chit, how will there be ananda? So it just sits there, right? Exhibit A.
Perfect example.
Yes, it doesn't do anything. It just sits there. Like that. You come back tomorrow, it won't be there. Why?
Because someone else moved it.
Yeah, because then one of the kids came along and, what's this rock doing here? And moved it. So it won't move itself. Right? Okay, so chit and ananda are latent, means there's the potential, because it is a transformation of the internal potency, which is sat chit ananda. So it's latent, means, but it won't manifest. So who won't it manifest to? Us. Right? But it's not that the Lord doesn't come here, but he doesn't deal with the external potency, he deals with the internal. So even though it appears as this, it's the internal potency it's manifesting. Right? But the latentness is there because if it was manifest, we'd never leave. Right? We'd always be satisfied with something inferior. Right? So the Lord has created the universe out of his own self for the sake of Lila, without suffering any change whatsoever, and is related to it as the spider is to its web. Right? You know, like the spider. The spider can create the web and wind the web back up into itself. That's why the example is used, because it's not that like you have a spider coming down on a thread, but when they go back up, it's not that they're sitting there with one of the legs wrapping it up and all that. Now what do I do with it? They just absorb it back into their body. So in other words, but it's energy of the spider. So it's not so the spider has become the web, but not the spider is still the spider. So his energy has transformed into the web, right? So he can manifest it or unmanifest it. One. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why the example is given. For the sake of diversity, right? So for the sake of Lila, right? So you have the Lila is not that he's made the place because it's fun for him, because the living entities want to come here. So they're performing that Lila. So he comes here as his Lila to save those fallen conditioned souls. Right? So that means the whole creation then is also his Lila, as we were pointing out, is that you have strength, but then the pillar is that form. So in its original state and in the formal cause, the original cause and formal cause, then is the power of the pillar and the concept of pillar. So that means the Lord and his energy, but not in a dynamic, but in a static state, right? As Brahman, they're interacting, because Brahman still has to be masculine and feminine. Right, because it's the effulgence of his qualities. Right? Does that make sense? So the qualities are the original state, but they're in opulence. At the same time, they're the masculine element, right? And the effulgence is also then is the effulgence of. So that also means that's a form. What I'm saying. So therefore, it's saguna brahman. It's formless, but there's still the masculine feminine dynamic. Yes.
Is Krishna actually beyond masculine, feminine?
He is masculine and feminine. He's not beyond. He is masculine and feminine.
So he,
because he includes the feminine. Mm-hmm. The feminine is on its own. Okay. It's dependent upon the masculine. But the point is they go together. Mm-hmm. You can't separate them. Okay. That's why it's the Adi Rasa. Mm-hmm. That intimacy of masculine, feminine element. Because that's complete. He's complete in himself. He has everything. So that's where the conjugal rasa has all the other rasas within it. Mm-hmm. Right? All the different things could be tasted, everything. You know? Does that make sense? So that's why it's said it's the most intense. It's not better, it's just more intense.
Is that adi rasa when into the material becomes lust?
Yeah, it means you're changing prema into lust. It's just being transformed, perverted. Right? This transformation isn't overly beneficial. Right? So therefore we use the term perverted. Right? When there's some benefit to it, we say transformed. Right? Or at least it has the potential to be used in a proper way. Right? Yeah, because Shiva is transformed. He's auspicious. That's why his name is Shiva. He's auspicious. Material energy isn't a problem. It's our perverted love for Krishna is directed onto the material energy. That's the problem. So the illusion that the material energy is the place to place our that natural prema, that's Maya. But the material energy is just external energy. Right? So it's the Lord's potency that only manifests Sat, but Chit and Ananda are latent. So it's not Brahman. It is, of course, everything's Brahman, but it's not Brahma Jyoti, because that's just Sat. Right? You don't really see the Chit and Ananda there. But here there's the potential for it, but you never actually get it. Right? Because it's a reflection of the real Chit and Ananda. So therefore we try to interact with it. And, you know, some effect is gained, but that knowledge is not actually gained, that Ananda is not actually gained. But, and we think it should last forever. But the manifestation is temporary. So you don't understand. Yeah? Okay. For the sake of diversity, the Lord makes the soul subject to the power of his avidya, which is the root cause of the ideas of I and mine. Samsara, which is solely made up of ahanta, I-ness, or egoism, and mamata, minus, or the idea of pleasure, has to be destroyed by means of knowledge, devotion, etc. So here's I and mine. So they get back to the same. All the Vaishnavas will bring that out, because it's the Purusha Bhava is there. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Now whether they use the term Purusha Bhava or not, that's the point, is that all Vaishnavas have the same terminology. Now whether they're using the same Sanskrit word or not, but they're the point they're making is the same. They might use a different terminology for this. Because here they use ahanta, which is the combination. We'll say Purusha Bhava, and they'll say ahanta. It means I-ness and minus. Right? Okay. Abhideya and Prayojana. Concept of Sarvatma Bhava. He who attains the knowledge of Brahman and realizes that everything in this world is Brahman, after attaining moksha, he is absorbed in Akshara Brahman and is not in Parabrahman or Purna Purushottama. Right? So here, what we'll say, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they'll call Purna Purushottama. Right? Purushottama, the topmost person, but Purna, the complete topmost person. But if the knowledge of Brahman is associated with devotion, the knowing devotee is absorbed in Purna Purushottama. Right.
What was Akshara Brahman?
Akshara Brahman will be what we call Brahma Jyoti. Mm-hmm. Right? And not in Parabrahman. So by the looks of it here, that would be Paramatma. And Purna Purushottama will be the personality of Godhead. So, we'll see Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. They're saying Akshara Brahman, Parabrahman, and Purna Purushottama. Right, just to be specific. They won't have a problem with the verse because it's in Bhagavatam, and they also read Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam will use those three, but these would be, by the sounds of their common, how they refer. Does that make sense? Like if we say Brahman, then we'll always think Brahma Jyoti. So that's why it becomes confusing when we're talking about Brahman, and we're meaning, Krishna in the form of Brahman. Like that. So then we'll think that's something, because that's just the shiny light between the material world and the spiritual world. But the point is everything's Brahman. So then when we say Parabrahman, we mean is that the Supreme Lord, who is the source of all the other Brahmans, and how he all pervades everything as Brahman, because his Brahman is him. Right? So the different forms of Brahman are non-different from him. Just like you have, head as part of the body, arm, legs, feet, like this. So they're all the body, right? So it's all one body, but slightly different functions. Right? So it's the same, but at the same time, different. Right? Okay. Okay. He obtains the knowledge of Brahman, realizes that everything in this world is Brahman, right? So he understands it's all transcendental. After attaining moksha, he's absorbed in Akshara Brahman, right? Because all he knows is that everything's Brahman. So there's what basically we're referring to the Brahmavadi. When he understands the whole everything's Brahman, he's absorbed in Akshara Brahman. Right? Like that. It says, and not in Parabrahman or Purna Purushottama. But if the knowledge of Brahman is associated with devotion, right? In other words, you know everything's Brahman, but you have that devotion towards, then you're absorbed in Purna Purushottama. But absorbed here, because remember, there'd be Shuddha Dvait. Right? Pure oneness. You know? So the oneness here doesn't mean, you know, like Shishupal was absorbed in the body of the Lord, or the yogis get absorbed in, like that. It means that you get absorbed into the pastimes of the Lord. So you're always with the Lord, you know, but as Purna Purushottama. Does that make sense? Right? You know, so these kind of things then, as we saw before, that Madhvacharya would not present it this way because it's too much oneness. And then the Mayavadi might get distracted because here they're not, it means that who attains knowledge of Brahman, they're not talking about a Mayavadi here. Because he realized that everything in this world is Brahman. The Mayavadis say it's all illusions, so they're not actual Brahmavadis. Right? They classify themselves as Brahmavadis, but they're not Brahmavadis, they're Buddhists. Right? Does that make sense? Buddhists that follow the Vedic culture, that's all. Right? So Brahmavadis, they actually see it's all Brahman. Because the point is the material world is Sat, so they see the Sat element. So they're able to see the Sat element of everything, and they're not distracted by the temporary manifestations that the Sat takes. Does that make sense? So that's why they're on the Brahman platform. So they're absorbed in Brahman. So that impersonal, all-pervading element, that's there. But they're still in their body. It's not that they poof, go, you know, like that. You know, it's like this, you know, you have this whole room full of them, they're all meditating, and then suddenly there's a shaking, and then poof! And oh, he burst in Brahman. Yeah, no, it's still... It's a view. It's a realization. It's not a location, because they're saying then you go to Brahman, but that's a location. But the point of everything's Brahman, Brahman's all pervading, then it means it's pervading here also. Does that make sense? So they're trying to say it's an illusion that it's here. No, it is Brahman, but that pillar is there. But the Maya is it's a nice pillar, it's a great pillar, it's my pillar, it's his pillar. So, you know, anything like that, that's the illusion. But the pillar's there, so the Brahman can always be experienced, but they're taking it, no, none of this is Brahman, so therefore, to experience Brahman, there can be nothing. That's why we say it's Buddhism. Right? It's not actually covered Buddhism, because you don't know it's Buddhism. You know, it's just like you have a hole in the ground, cover it with grass, we don't know it's a hole, so, but it's still a hole. Right? The doctrine concept of Sarvatma Bhava. The doctrine of regarding the Lord as everything is called Sarvatma Bhava. Right? All in oneness. Right? So Sarvatma, you know, means everything. So the mood of one. So but to be mood, then that means there must be a person. Right? Because Brahman, the Akshara Brahman, where's the feeling? Right? Because when it becomes feeling, it's specific, it's the personality. Just like the strength and the form of the pillar, right, are there. That's the masculine and the feminine. It comes from the original form of the Lord and the internal potency. You see that, then you're dealing with the personality of God. So it's Krishna and his internal potency. But if you don't, then it's just Brahman. Right? Does that make sense? And here they don't even distinguish between the masculine and the feminine. Does that make sense? All in oneness, which is different from the Sarvatma Bhava of the monist, Yanis, which is one in allness. Right? See, that's the difference. This is the pure oneness. It's all in oneness, not one in allness. So that means, wow.
Not one in allness.
No, that means the musketeers were confused. right? They were part Maya bodies and part Pushtis. Then they had a problem.
That's why they had so many conflicts.
Yeah, it's maybe why they got disbanded, right? They couldn't figure themselves out. Right?
Must be.
Yeah. The philosophical reason for the disbandment of the... Okay, so all in oneness, not one in allness. Right? Because they're just saying it's all one means it's just this one. No, but all of this is part of the one.
Yeah.
Rather than the one is all this. It's a slightly different. Yet the devotees see everything in Krishna. The gopis possess this attitude in the highest degree, and Lord Krishna had therefore to remain quite obedient to them. The experience of Surupananda, which is definitely superior to that of Brahmananda, is therefore the highest conception of moksha. Right? So they're taking Brahmananda, the happiness of just being absorbed in Brahman. They're taking Surupananda, being absorbed in that form that's engaged in the Lord's service is higher.
Yeah.
Right? So then also they would take it that the Shanta Ras is not also, even within Rasa, wouldn't be the highest, because even though you may have form, you're not exercising that form specifically to render any interactive service. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and because they see Krishna in everything, means like that. Therefore, everything they see connected to him. Therefore, had to be remain obedient to him because there's nothing where he's outside of their vision.
What's their experience of Sarupananda means? What's the experience of their experience of Sarupananda mean? It's not like Sarupya Mukti.
No. Sarupananda here is meaning as opposed to Brahmananda being just the mood of that, but Sarupananda means within the Sarup. Like that means either you can connect with Sarup Shakti, means with the internal potency, or Sarup meaning that you have a form that you're engaged in spiritual activities with. As opposed to Brahmananda, where you're not worried about form. You're just worried about being the consciousness of Brahman. Right? It's here. One who attains the knowledge of Brahman and realizes that everything in this world is Brahman, right? Then that's the Brahmananda. But when that's there with the devotion, but the knowledge associated with devotion, then that takes up Sarupananda. So in other words, they're saying is this Sarvatma Bhava, there's Brahmananda and Sarupananda. So Sarupananda is the highest, right? Because Krishna is everything, so therefore you can say is that aspect is there, but within that everything, then there's that personal exchange of devotion that's the most important. Does that make sense? So they're starting from it here. Well, like when we'll talk about the oneness, we'll talk more about the mood of just the mood together. So that seems to be the difference also with Ramanuja. Here they're talking about the oneness being everything's Krishna, right? And but then higher than that is that the difference, means that we have the form, we interact. So you always are going to get the oneness and difference. Right? So they're starting with oneness and saying the difference is where the taste is. But Madhva was starting with the difference and at the end saying that oneness is where the taste is. Right? Does that make sense? So, and Ramanuja is talking about the oneness in that mood. So that Vishishta Dwait means that special oneness, that special, the special means the interactiveness. But he's saying Vishuddha, it's the purified, meaning this is the real thing, it's the one, it's all one, but it's on that pure state, and that the highest part of that pure state is therefore you interact with that, he who is everything. Does that make sense? We see they're all just different aspects of the same thing. So that's why Achinta Beta Tattva includes all that. So all these positions aren't a problem for us. It's just when they bring them down and explain all the rest of the philosophy from that standpoint, then sometimes they use common terminology, sometimes they use specialized terminology. So, they'll emphasize certain aspects to bring out that particular aspect. Right? Does that make sense? So that's how it seemingly that you end up with four different methods of Vaishnavism. But it's actually still only one method. It's just where you emphasize. Just like you have so many chefs, and they're all good chefs of the same caliber, but one emphasizes one aspect of cooking, someone another, you know, someone have the looks of it, someone gets into subtleties of the taste, or someone into special techniques of preparation, or special, you know, the quality of the ingredients, whatever it is that where they put their emphasis. That's what makes their taste unique. But it's still cooking. Does that make sense?
So Maharaj is Savatmabhava. Is it the same thing that Shuddhadvaita?
Shuddhadvaita, yeah, I mean this is all Shuddhadvaita.
But it is the same meaning, Savatmabhava.
It all seems to be. I mean, it explains it, but I think means you have an element that's the whole philosophy is being discussed. And then this is the element, he's putting it here in the Abhideya, of how you're going to attain that.
Yes.
Right? Means, in other words, it's purified oneness.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So eventually it's that oneness of service and that. But he started from the element that the Lord is everything, and now that difference between us and the Lord, that taste of that, that's then Surupananda. So he's pointing out that aspect. So here it's being brought out so that Abhideya can be understood nicely. The overall is called Shuddhadvaita.
Shuddhadvaita means
pure oneness.
Pure oneness, yes.
Pure oneness, purified oneness. Yeah, so that's the you see, one in allness. No, it's the other way. All in oneness. So that's the meaning of it, all in oneness. Right? The doctrine of guarding is called Sarvatmabhava. Okay, so then they call it that, but that's the thing. But here it's being applied in Abhideya.
Yes.
But the element of Sarvatmabhava, it's not that's the term, because the term is Shuddhasattva.
Yes.
But that explanation of what Shuddhasattva means here is that the main explanation will be this aspect. It gets into the details. Okay, concept of pushti. There is, again, another stage which may be described as the highest. When the Lord desires to favor a particular soul, and be it remembered that in showing his favor, he is not guided by any other consideration than his own will. Right? In other words, they're saying is that when the Lord shows his favor, but it's not because someone's done something, it's because he wants to give it.
It's kripa,
what we call. We always say we're dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Because otherwise, then you can bring in the element that I've done the work, I deserve the results.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to avoid anything of karma or karma mimamsa like that. So therefore, that's why he says, how do you say it? Not guided by any considered, but is to be remembered, right? In other words, when the Lord desires to favor a particular soul, he brings out the soul from himself, gives him a divine body, because it's just he does, right? A divine body like his own, and plays with him for all time, right? In this play, which is called Nitya Lila, the Lord, remaining subordinate to devotee, gives him the pleasure of his company. The divine bliss is purely a gift of the Lord. It cannot be attained by any human effort. Right? So, okay, you understand? This gift of divine grace is called pushti. In other words, we agree with it, but we don't emphasize that aspect as much. Because then it's always about that grace of the Lord, and that fact, so it doesn't bring it to that highest stage, aspects of Braj, where these things aren't considered. That interaction, there's no consciousness of that.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that. It means if you're thinking about that, you know it's by his grace and he's independent. Does that make sense?
It's correct. It's also suitable for people who are very pure then. Who are very pure.
Which?
This concept. Because it's all by God's grace, so you have
yes.
to be deserving or something.
Yeah.
Not like, because where is preaching coming from?
Means preaching is you're giving that grace. Means this, the Lord comes to preach. That's why he comes as Lord Chaitanya. So he comes to preach and give that. So we're simply assisting in that process.
What's their idea?
So far, It hasn't been specifically mentioned. I don't know how much they preach, but they do. They are a growing group like that, so there must be some kind of, I know of, they do preach in their programs.
7 days Bhagavatam, they preach.
They generally do it through that.
7 days
Bhagavatam. Bhagavat
Saptam. That's them?
No, that's not them. Because they'll be, you know, someone who's practicing in that. Generally the Swamis or Brahmacharis do those programs. But their heads are... Oh, no, that's another group I'm thinking of. Yeah, basically, they're all... No, excuse me. The gurus are all grihasthas. They're all grihasthas. They're all grihasthas. They have to be grihasthas, because we'll see that coming up on the next... Isn't it coming up here? I'm not sure.
They don't allow
sannyasis? No, they'll be sannyasis, but then they'll be renounced and all that. But the worship of the deities in the temple is all grihasthas. Because the point is because of this rasa, how they have it, because it's in parental rasa, then Krishna's junior. Right? So that means you can't be close with his wife. So that means the head pujari's wife, she dresses Radharani, and head pujari dresses Krishna. So they can't worship Radha Krishna, you know, without their wife. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Naji has wife.
Who?
Srinathji?
Yeah, Radharani's wife.
Really?
See that little pile on the side?
Oh, okay.
But in the temples, so many times happen. But the point is it's not a problem for parents that their kid has a wife.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not a problem. So therefore, they can also worship Radha Krishna. They don't have a problem. That's why they have no problem coming to our temples, Radha Krishna. But that's their son with his wife. You know? Okay. So here he's talking about by his favor, the particular soul, showing his favor, he is not guided by any, okay, brings out the soul from himself, gives him a divine body like his own, and plays with him for all time. So in other words, that process of the soul coming out, but because he's Jiva, he still makes that choice to interact. He's made that choice, then God interacts with him and then does that eternally. That's your Nitya Siddhas. Does that make sense? And now, the soul manifesting, if he gets distracted by the facilities, you know, like that, then he goes to the material world. Which is also, therefore, the Lord's grace, because he's going to interact with the soul in the spiritual world, or he's going to interact with the soul in the material world, because everything here, you're still interacting with Krishna. Right? But in the form of Vishnu, as the, you know, universal form, you know, and Paramatma. Right? So then it's still the same point. He's still going to manifest him, and then he's going to interact with him eternally. Now the question is this, whether it's on the spiritual platform or whether it's coming to the material world first. So then those that come to the material world are the samsarins. Then they practice, if they take up the process of bhakti, then they come to the liberated platform. Right? And then from there, they become the muktas, you know, which then is in the same category as the shudras. Right? So it's just a matter of, in that process of manifestation, because we have to remember Brahma's lifetime is 3/4 of a second in the spiritual world. Right? Does that make sense? So that means, you know, we're thinking, no, but that would be so long. What about that gap? It's not a big amount of time. You know, so it's just a mentality. If it comes out and it's something else, then you end up here. That's all. Does that make sense?
What to
do? Yeah.
Not even time for a nap, right? It's just like...
Yeah, 3/4 second. Yeah.
Pavana. Pavana.
Yeah, well, power ignorance, yeah.
Power ignorance.
Okay. Okay, this gift of divine grace is called pushti. In other words, it's the nourishment. It's the Lord nourishes like that. Mm. The best example of pushti is found in the case of the gopis in Vrindavan. Those who enjoy his divine grace automatically begin to love the Lord and look upon him not only as their Lord, but as everything. Right? So it appears that I'm not sure, but there might even... Huh?
No, gopis.
Yeah, gopis is there. But it might even be, there might even be different groups within them, that those who are the gopis and those who are not. But it may be they're just, they appreciate that. Just like Narad Muni is appreciating that the gopis are the highest. You know, Uddhava, you know, which is in friendship Ras, in Dwarka, appreciates the gopis are the highest. So appreciating the highest doesn't necessarily mean that it's just like the mother realizes that the intimacy of the wife with her son is greater than her with the son. Right? You know, it's just the way it is. You know. That doesn't mean you don't come and tell him every what to do and all that.
But it's, you know.
Yeah. Huh?
You have one before, now you have both to tell what to do.
Yeah. But when the two of them together, then that's the problem. Which one do you listen to?
Yeah. Is that why he became curious and dipped in the Narada Kund and became like Naradi? Narada Muni, right? There's a pastime with him where he was listening about the gopis and
Became a gopi?
Yeah, he becomes a gopi. Oh. His worship was Naradi.
Not sure. These you have to hear from the great, how you say, authorities in these matters. Okay. So therefore, saying the greatest pushti of this divine grace is found in the case of the gopis, right? So there was a problem. It makes your fortunes because it's just by divine grace that it's coming, right? And then the spiritual master we call him divine grace is because he's the medium for the Lord's mercy, right? So the divine grace is actually Krishna. Krishna is pushti. Pushti is divine grace is his mercy, right? The spiritual master because of his mercy. What we're getting is his mercy. So therefore, it's the proper title. You know, people want to get into this and that, being humble. It doesn't matter. We're talking about how it works. It's Krishna who's the boss here, right? And we can't be worried that, well, is Krishna qualified? You know, like that. You know, he's the qualified one. Okay. Those who enjoy his divine grace automatically begin to love the Lord and look upon him not only as a Lord but as everything. Right, so here the whole point is that there's that love of the Lord, and see Krishna as everything for them. So whatever the rasa is, that's how it's seen. Right, so he's still giving a generic. He's just saying the gopis are, you know, best example of that. They're so absorbed, like that. But all the devotees then they have this thing because they automatically love the Lord. So it also indicates that element of spontaneity. Pushti and Maryada. In Maryada Marg, one follows the dictates of the Vedas, yajnas, etc., and practices different types of bhakti, such as Shravanam, etc., until he begins to love the Lord, who taking his efforts into consideration, grants him Sayuja Mukti, or merging into the body of the Lord. In Pushti Marg, however, through the operation of divine grace only, one starts with loving the Lord, and then he practices Shravanam, etc., out of that love, and not with a view to generating it. Right? In other words, he practices out of love. He's not trying to get the love. He's practicing out of expressing his appreciation, affection for the Lord. I'm not doing this to get the love. Mm. Mm. Right? I'm doing this out of love.
That means you already have love.
Yeah. It means you have, you know, it means anything, any kind of affection and all that. It means it matures into love.
Can we call our practice the same?
We would say that it's, you know, the budding things, but their pointing is it's made of the same element.
The same concept.
Well, it's the same concept, yeah. But it's just the degree of it is not so much that we would call it, you know what I'm saying? It's just like here, it's a, you know, piece of this here. Down here, that there. Oops, not that one, but that one. There. Is that a rock? right? But it's a little piece of the rock, you know. So it's not an, it's still rock. It contains rockness, but it's not enough rockness that we call it a rock. Does that make sense? You know, if you look on the rock, it's made of all these flecks of minerals. But if you only have one of those flecks, you don't call it a rock. That's what you call it, a fleck. But it's made of this. It's the same quality as the rock, but the amount is just so less. So that little bit of that little budding, but it's just so little. Because we don't see Krishna in everything. So just occasionally here and there we apply it. What we're saying here is that they always see everywhere. So that's then what they would call to that.